Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It's going to be another glorious day all across the state and the plantation course. Can you imagine? It's just 4 months or so, give or take a week, until the, Century Tournament of Champions played on the plantation course. It's just incredible how time is flying. We got stuck for a while there, and now it's just moving along. Partly cloudy skies, breezy conditions, with some rain, Windward and Mocha mainly, isolated on the leeward side. High today, 92 degrees. The trades, thankfully, 10 to 25 miles per hour. A couple of places, we've got tee times at Kapolei. There's a 9:40 and an 11:10. Poipu Bay has a 10 o'clock. Makalei has a 9:50. Royal Hawaiian, 8:30, 9:30. Bayview has an 8:36, a 9:10, 10:20. Makaha East, 8:45 to 10:30. Pretty much wide open there. And Maui Nui after 10:30, lots of tee times available. Remember to put on the sunscreen and reapply. And the Like Like, by the way, is open. That accident's been cleared, so we're all good coming across the Ko'olau if you wanted to come into town to take that Kapolei spot. All right, we've got a great show for you. We've got Steve DiMeglio, senior writer, USA Golf Week. We're going to do a little PGA preview. The first major of the year is next week. Michael Patrick Shields, he's back with us. He's at PGA Tour Champions this weekend. Terry Kohler, he's got an offer you simply can't refuse from Edison Golf. Casey Nakama, owner and lead instructor. Yes, Casey Nakama Golf Development Center and his schools are open again. And Steve Eubanks is going to start us off, senior writer, Global Golf Post, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Steve Eubanks, New York Times bestselling author, award-winning columnist, senior writer, Global Golf Post, a caddy for his daughter, maybe the most important role he has. But also, hey, Steve, welcome in.
Thanks, Danielle. Good to be with you.
It's good to be with you. I see you're now managing editor for LPGA, too.
That's correct, yes. I got some double duty going on, but love covering the women, and it's been a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. So what, as a managing editor, what do you do?
Quite frankly, all of the digital platforms, be it LPGA.com, the Women's Network, anything that we do communications-wise, I'm not just doing the writing, but assigning the stories and trying to integrate all the content.
Wow. And now, of course, there's the LPGA bubble, and we're playing. This is the first weekend back, and it's exciting. I turned on Golf Channel, and there were the ladies playing. I'm like, yes, it's time. It is the LPGA Drive-On Championship, and it looks like it's an absolutely gorgeous golf course. Inverness Club is where they're playing. Isn't that the home of the Solheim Cup next year?
It is, in fact, the home of the Solheim Cup next year, and everyone is thrilled to be able to get an early look, obviously, with the Solheim Cup coming up. That's, if you have a chance of being either on the U.S. or the European squad, you're extremely excited about getting an early look. But look, it's a major championship venue. I mean, they've held U.S. Opens and PGA championships there. They've held a U.S. amateur there. The list of winners that have come out of Inverness Club is pretty extraordinary, going all the way back to Ted Ray in 1920. So Paul Azinger won there. Bob Tway won there. They've won their both PGA championships there. You've had Pale Irwin, one of his U.S. Opens there. Craig Stadler won a U.S. Amateur there. So it's an extraordinary club in Toledo, Ohio, that that I hope people would get a chance to go see at some point, especially during the Solheim Cup. It would just be terrific to have big crowds out there.
Oh, yeah. And how does it feel without the fans playing, or playing, watching, walking, being?
It's a little different. Look, I mean, I think we were fortunate on the LPGA in that we had had a month or more of PGA Tour playing without fans to kind of get a sense of what that was going to look and sound and feel like. But until you're there, until you see it, you just don't know. I mean, the build-outs are different. No grandstands. You don't have the army of volunteers around. It seems quieter. It seems like even though you have the same number of players, you don't have as many people around. A little bit different on the LPGA standpoint in that they did not require players to bring caddies if they didn't want to stand as close to the caddy as they normally would. Or in many instances, if a caddy couldn't get there because he lives out of the country or, you know, whatever reason, but you have several players that are carrying their own bags or using a trolley.
Wow. I didn't notice that. What I did notice is Lydia Ko, in her first round, was playing brilliant golf. She shot a 69, a little off today, but she was waving. And I thought, I wonder who she's waving at. On television, we couldn't see. It was like she was waving at a crowd. How have you talked to the golfers, the women? What does it feel like not having the reaction?
That's the strangest thing. Of course, they've been doing this since March, and so it's been, it's almost like being out and playing a casual round with friends other than, you know, you are in competition. But a lot of them have had some competitive warm-ups. I mean, we've had a number of players who have played on the Cactus Tour, which is based out of Arizona. We've had a number of them play in state opens. Celine Boutier is playing extremely well today. She won the Texas Women's Open. You had Haley Moore, who was in the field this week. She won three times on the Cactus Tour. So they've gotten this little bit of a tune-up basically in front of no fans. So this doesn't come as a huge surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was looking at the scores thinking there's no rust, for instance, on Danielle Kang. 6 under, she's shooting lights out.
She really is, and this is a testament, I think, to a couple of things. Danielle has really rededicated herself to golf. She's focusing a lot more. I think her relationship with Maverick McNeely has helped a lot, but more than anything, being in Las Vegas and working with Butch Harmon. I think that just that relationship and that that coach-student mentorship has really helped Danielle a lot. She has gotten a lot of stories out of Butch. She's gotten a lot of advice out of him. And really it's taken an active and at times cluttered mind and simplified things.
Some people are very hesitant to talk about what their coach helps them with. Do you find some are more apt to discuss what they're working on with their coach?
Oh, sure. Yeah, but look, I've spent a lot of time around Butch. I mean, I haven't gotten a lot out of Danielle in terms of what they're working on, but I just know his style. I know I know what he does. Butch, he's 90% mental and 10% swing instruction.
Uh-huh.
And by that, I mean, I've watched him on the range on PGA Tour events, and he's never been to an LPGA event, but I've seen him. He tells jokes. He laughs around. He might give one little bit of a tip to one of his players. But the rest of the time, he's just kind of chatting. And then as his player walks off the range, he puts his arm around him and he says, "You're the best I've ever seen." And that's the lesson. That's the lesson in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
All he wants to do is get that person believing in themselves before they go to the first tee. And he does that better than anybody.
That's beautiful. And speaking of going back to Solheim Cup and the European players, seeing Leanne Pace and Celine Boutier and Jody Ewart-Chadoff doing so well on this golf course, does it feel a little European since it was made so long ago?
It does. It's, you know, it's an original Donald Ross design. Now, it had gone through many iterations, but they have a fellow named Andrew Green has come back in, and really, I don't want to say he's redesigned it. He's revitalized the original Ross design. The bunkers look exactly like they would have when this thing opened, you know, at the turn of the last century. And so it's very, very similar to what those guys would have played in the 1920 U.S. Open, as opposed to what you might have played in the 70s.
Wow, that's great. I like that. I like them keeping it the way it was originally created to be played. I know that Seminole is one of your favorite courses. You've said so. And Seminole is pretty much the way it was when it was originally built, isn't it?
It is, and this is a very similar sort of look now. You've got, you know, it's funny that you should say Seminole, because obviously everybody talks about the greens at Seminole, and that's exactly what you have now at the Inverness Club. I was talking to Paul Azinger about it, and I said, you know, what did you do prior to coming in and winning your major there? And he told me the greatest story, because from 1940 to 1945, Byron Nelson was the golf pro at Inverness Club. He actually beat Ben Hogan out for the job. And before they teed off in the 93 PGA, Paul goes and finds Mr. Nelson and said, "Mr. Nelson, what's the key to play in this club?" And Nelson said, "Paul, the key to play in the Inverness Club is that the greens are so small that if you hit it in the middle of every one of them, you're going to have a pretty good chance to make birdie."
Wow.
And it was the greatest piece of advice Paul said he ever had. Because unless he had a wedge in his hand, he hit it in the middle of every one of those greens. And that was the key to victory.
Isn't that great? I mean, it perfect. Postage stamp. Okay, everybody, small greens, good thing. Something to think about. You wrote a really good piece about Michelle Wee West in Global Golf Post about motherhood and how it's changed her a little bit. And now you followed her career. We have certainly. In fact, the next guest who's coming on is the man who actually started teaching her when she was 7 years old, Casey Nakama. But you've been following her career. How did you see the changes?
Well, look, I've known Michelle, not as long as Casey, obviously, but since she was 13. When she burst onto the scene, was playing in LPGA events as really a very young child. And I've seen the development, and I've seen some of the problems that she's had. And I would say that the biggest thing that I see now is motherhood and marriage have made her more genuine. She's always been thoughtful. She's always been incredibly bright. She's the kind of person that I always said, sound bites did not do her justice, because the shorter the amount of time you gave her to speak, the shallower she sounded. But if you gave her some time and space in which to speak, she was an incredibly bright and articulate young woman. Now, I think that comes across much quicker, and I think it comes across as being a lot more genuine.
Wow.
No more of these canned sound bites that she was prone to give in interviews after rounds. Now she will actually tell you what she thinks, and you can rest assured she thought the matter through.
It's interesting that you should put it that way, because when you read the article, you said she's more engaged and less likely to pause to ponder her list of rehearsed responses. Safe responses is the way I read that, like something that couldn't be misinterpreted or interpreted in ways she didn't mean.
That's exactly right. She always was thinking three steps ahead. What is this going to look like in print? And how is this going to be spun? That's no longer the case. Now she's just sitting there and telling you what she thinks. And I think that's refreshing. It's what people really want. They want to get the genuine you. And I think that a lot of things have done that. Michelle being away has done it. Being engaged with another family, the Wests, who are basketball royalty, and sort of seeing a different side of the fame of sports. And, of course, motherhood. That's had a wonderful effect on a lot of players who have been, I don't want to say selfish or self-absorbed, but have certainly been in their own bubble. And I think of Annika Sorenstam as an example, Stacey Lewis, who's one of my dear friends, but motherhood has certainly opened her up. Suzanne Pedersen, who's a completely different person now that she's a mother. And I think you're getting the same out of Michelle.
You know what's nice about having something else other than yourself or your goals to distract you? It takes the pressure off. So you have a child now to give love to nurture, to take care of. So, you know, it takes the pressure off having to be so obsessed with what it is you've been pursuing your entire life. And in a way, that relaxes everybody. You know, you're much more comfortable. You can walk in and do it. Okay, let's go to work here now. And now I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go someplace else. And I think it's much healthier for everybody. When Michelle is obviously still very much involved in the game about Pat Hurst being named the Solheim Cup captain, and Michelle Wee West immediately texting. Tell us that story.
Yes, in fact, when Pat Hurst was named Solheim Cup captain, she had been Michelle's pod mom. Now, I don't know if you remember, Julie Angster broke up the team into pods. She actually followed Paul Azinger's model from the 2008 Ryder Cup. And she had pod moms. Each individual pod of four people had an assistant captain, and that assistant captain was the person they came to. All of the problems, everything came through the pod moms. And Pat handled the pod, that included Michelle. And so getting the same captain, instantaneously, Michelle reached out via text and just said, "Hey, if you're thinking about assistant captains, I sure would love to be considered." Pat responded immediately saying, "You know, let me get back with you on that, but just know that you are being thought of very highly." And most recently, she did call her, and now Michelle will be an assistant captain.
And it's wonderful. I mean, she when I saw the interview with her, the way she was speaking about it, like, yeah, I really wanted to do this. And I don't think Pat gave her the answer right away. And I thought that was kind of perfect. Make her just wait a little bit. And that was sweet. Something else that was announced this week on the LPGA, the Ladies Professional Golf Association Foundation, announcing the first five recipients of the Renee Powell Grant, the program honoring Renee Powell's lifelong commitment to golf. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the things that the LPGA has decided to do, look, we're not going to go out and put up a lot of banners, and we're not going to, you know, we don't have jerseys, so nobody's going to go out and put slogans on jerseys. We're going to speak through our actions. And one of the things that means is we believe in diversity and inclusion in the game, and always have from the inception, from Althea Gibson becoming was the first black female to play on the LPGA Tour, not long after the LPGA Tour was created, through Renee. And, you know, today we've got Mariah Stackhouse playing full-time and doing exceptionally well. Look, we've always believed in that the numbers in golf are all that matters. You shoot scores, you're out there. This is not a league that should discriminate at all under any circumstances for any reasons. And so... as part of that, we believe that our foundation should go out and try to encourage and entice minority girls to participate in golf, not that they may be tour players someday, but that for the life lessons and the character that's built through the game.
Exactly. And so the five sites that are getting $5,000 in grant funding are all LPGA USJ Girls Golf. At the First Tee Central Ohio, First Tee of Lake Erie, First Tee of, or rather, Girls Golf East Canton, of the Greater Cleveland Girls Golf, and Girls Golf Northwood Golf Academy. What would they use this money for?
Well, hopefully they're going to use it to develop girls golf in those areas, but primarily for outreach. Go into underserved communities. In a lot of these cases, you know, there's high density population of minority girls. Introduce them to the game. That's what the USGA LPGA Girls Golf Program is about, is introducing young girls to the game. It's the camaraderie that they feel. It's the sense of competition that they have. But more than anything, it's the sense of belonging. I'm in a group of girls who are learning a game that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. And if they're seeing a girl out there who maybe doesn't look like them, maybe doesn't come from the same background as them, hopefully they will carry the lessons they learn on the golf course to other aspects of their life.
Yeah, and something that really needs to be emphasize, too, is that golf is a great sport. You can play it for your entire life, but it is also a great friend maker, and it's also a great connector. So you get on the golf course with people in the same business or with like interests. You develop deeper bonds there because your foibles are really exposed. And there's something about the camaraderie of everybody not being great, or if somebody is, then applauding them or them applauding you if you're having one of those, you know, putts that just went in and you're just so excited and they're being excited for you. That is a kind of friendship that you really don't experience in any other facet of a sport that you're doing. You can't play tennis like that. So I think, and women can take this to business and use it for really profitable, and I don't mean that necessarily money-wise. I mean that just in a profitable-to-yourself way, and maybe it will make you some money along the way. Thank you very much for being on the show, Steve Eubanks, and so excited to see the women playing. Olivia Coe, Minji Lee, Amy Olsen, Sarah Burnham, Carlotta Chiganda, they're all in the mix, and of course, at the very top of the leaderboard right now, Danielle Kang, Celine Boutier, Jody Ewerts, shout off, and Lee Ann Pace with Yui Kawamoto and Lydia Ko there. So watch on Golf Channel. It's going to be great. DVR it. It's looking really good. Inverness Club is amazing. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Good to be with you.
Aloha. Going to come back, and Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, inducted in 2015, director of golf, founder and owner of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. They're back. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord? Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, has some tee times open for you this morning. You need to make your tee times. There's an 836 call, reserve 910, 1020, 1118, the number is 247-0451, 247-0451. And if you don't feel like going out for a round of golf, you want to stay in the shade because it's getting so hot and you can't get out early, then of course you can just go to the Top Tracer driving range and enjoy yourself a lot. And now there are three bunkers. They're adding sand at Bayview, okay? And I'm thinking about doing a contest for the person who can call and tell me what holes the bunkers are on. I think that would be fun, and they'd win a box of golf balls, except I need to get in touch with Eric and find out exactly which holes those bunkers are on. We'll have to talk with him about doing this. Casey Nakama's next.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, inducted in 2015, Director of Golf, founder, owner, Casey Nakama's Golf Development Center, and as we mentioned earlier, Michelle Wee's first coach, and Dean Wilson comes to get tips from Casey Nakama. Welcome into the clubhouse, Casey.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Good day. Yeah.
It's a beautiful day, and it's great to have you. And it's funny, the story goes like this. I call up Casey to see if he can do something on a Saturday or a Sunday, and he said, "This is the first weekend that I'm back open." I went, "Oh my goodness." And that's so exciting. Now, normally the Hawaii junior golf season goes year round, and of course, this year was not normal and still isn't. The Casey Nakama Junior Golf Development Center at Pearl Country Club, at Mililani Golf Club, at Bayview Golf Course. So how are things this year different? What are you doing?
Well, you know, obviously this COVID has thrown everything off. And we're open again the last 3-4 weeks. And we're trying to do all the things that's right for keeping the kids safe and keeping the instructors safe. So there's no tournaments for the kids. You know, Oahu Junior Golf, Hawaii State, everything has come to a stop. But just in the interest of safety for the kids. And so, you know, everybody's still practicing and playing, and our program is up and running. But, you know, everybody just got to do what we got to do to get through this.
Exactly. Getting outside is so important for youngsters. Tell us now, I would mention Pearl and Bayview and Mililani. At Pearl Country Club, you have, is that still where the junior 7 and older learn the basics?
Yeah, we have the introductory programs at Pearl and Mililani. And once they get through the program to a certain level, then they can move to Bayview and, you know, get on the golf course more often. But all our introductory stuff is done at Pearl Country Club and Mililani Golf Course.
So tell us how you develop the white cap, black and red caps. How does that work?
You know, when it started, it was an interesting thing, Danielle, is because we had kids that was playing golf introductory level, and we had started it. And as they were advancing, for me, being from a competitive instructor, you know, learning how to play golf in a tournament format, I was always competitive, and so I always thought, how could I get these kids to keep them, you know, to begin this competitive edge and start playing? And so I thought of the martial arts, and in karate, let's say, they have colored belts for certain levels. And that's how we came up with the idea that, okay, if they get to a certain level and they pass a series of tests on the golf course, pitching, putting, you know, hitting the golf ball, and then they would get a certain color hat. So that's how we started it. So the first level was the white cap, that the kids are trying to get to that white cap division. And so within the white cap division, there's white, black, and red, which is relatively difficult to get the black and the red. But to get to the white cap division, the kids got to be practicing, and they got to pass a series of tests, and then they can move to that division. That division, they're golf course ready, and they can go into our tournament divisions. So, yeah, you know, that's how we came up with that idea.
That's good.
You know,
that's,
with the coach, yeah.
Yeah, and it does. It gives them, like, having a badge of honor. I've worked hard for this. Which leads me to, when you're working with kids, let's say when you start working with Michelle, she was 7, I think. When do you see in a young person a talent?
You know, Danielle, I tell this to all of new parents that come in at the introductory level. We have not seen one single natural golfer. There's almost virtually no such thing as far as this game is concerned. There are kids that are naturally athletic and they have better hand-eye coordination, but as far as golf, just pertaining straight to golf, we don't have one natural golfer. So if the parents and the juniors go practice and they see a kid on the driving range hitting balls, and they have nice form, they're hitting the ball well. Just know that these kids have practiced to get like that, because we have not had one player that comes in that can stand up there and take in the information right away and start swinging and have that form to hit the golf ball. This is, you know, this is one of the most challenging sports that in all of sports. And so the kids got to develop to become a good golfer. And so, you know, that's a good thing, because when we get started, everybody's kind of on the same level playing field. And the ones that work harder starts to advance, you know, more. So, but, you know, that's one of those things that we've seen through all the years. We've seen some kids that, like I said, have more natural ability to swing a club and have good coordination. But when it came time to chipping and putting, you know, they're just totally lost. So, you know, Michelle started with us at she was 9 and 10, and she had already played golf a little bit. But she wasn't very good at 9 and 10 years old. She was, just to let everybody know that when she started, she was not very good at that age. And just from practicing, but real diligent practicing, you know, they practice, you know, 5-6 days a week. And then, you know, also her size, and that's why it turned into that.
So she was tall, but didn't she win by the age of 11 the Jenny Kay?
Whether it was 11 or 12, right around there, yeah. And you know, she was really tall, and she hit the ball far, you know, for the amongst the girls, and so that gave her a big advantage. But you know, she still had to, you know, learn how the little nuances of, you know, pitching the golf balls, and that just requires some touch and hours and hours and hundreds of balls to chip to acquire that feel, to get the ball to dribble up close to, you know, to the holes and stuff like that. So, you know, it just takes a lot of practice. So, there, you know, when people see her swing, and her swing was so beautiful at one time, and everybody would think that that's a natural golfer, but no, there's no such thing as a natural golfer.
We haven't
seen one.
Right, and I think it's important to point out that the golf swing is not something that we've ever used in the history of humanity, the humankind.
Yeah, it is such an unnatural action. You know, when you stand there, you got to swat at a golf ball, move it sideways, you know, towards it. It is such an unnatural motion to make. And so the best learning is visual learning, you know, where you watch somebody that kind of swings and has a nice looking swing, and you have that nice picture in your mind, that helps the most.
Yeah. A lot of people have a really hard time figuring out how to square the club face to the golf ball.
Right. It's hard. It is hard. It just requires practice. Unfortunately, I cannot say that I have a secret. And if you did this, you would become a good golfer. You know, I don't have that secret. So,
Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, by the way, who is an Asian Tour alum, a Ben Hogan and PGA Tour alum. He won the Hilo Invitational probably more than once, the Hawaii State Open, the Jal Rainbow Open, Makaha Open, Maui Open, Midpack Open, Waikoloa Open, you name it. Here's somebody, how much practice did you put in?
You know, in the first few years when I started to learn how to play golf, and I started to like it right off the bat, because, you know, coming from other sports, and especially when we played baseball a little bit, when we hit the ball, the baseball doesn't travel very far compared to a golf ball. So when we started hitting golf balls and the balls would fly, you know, 200 yards, and even if it was slicing, it was in the air for 200 yards, and I was just intrigued by that. And that's how we started. You know, I had a big old slice starting learning how to play golf, and we were at Bayview Driving Range, and I was hitting this big slice, but I just liked watching the ball fly in the air for 200 yards, and then we started to play golf from there.
You know, when you talk about Bayview, when I first went on the golf course, it's such a great walking course, the first 9 holes, right? And then you go up. And
yeah, they have a really tricky back 9. It's beautiful, and the holes are hard. You know, at a certain point, as a golf player, you kind of want the course to be a little challenging at some times, you know, And then on the front nine, it's such a nice, beautiful practice walk in nine holes to play. And then you get to the back nine, and you have to hit some really quality golf shots to play decent over there. But it gets narrow, and there's water, and but it's a perfect venue for kids to be playing.
It is perfect, and yeah. I was stunned by how beautiful the bay looks from Bayview.
You know, the owner, Kerry Lau, when they purchased it a few years ago, and they've been doing a great job restoring that golf course. Eric Onodera is the general manager for those guys, and they've been doing a great job. The golf course has been improving. Every year, the golf course, something gets better. And now I think they just hired a full-time green superintendent.
Wow.
So, yeah, when players do go over there, they're going to be surprised if they played there, you know, in the last 5 years, and they would go there now, they would be very surprised at the condition of the golf course.
I couldn't agree with you more. And do you know what else? They're putting in bunkers. I mean, they've got...
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're starting to kind of dabble with a couple of the bunkers. You know, when the course first opened up, there was a lot of bunkers. You can see there's a lot of mounding for bunkers, but there just wasn't enough play to sustain that maintenance cost of that, you know, all those bunkers.
Something about rain on the windward side, washing sand out, and all that stuff that happens?
Yeah, I don't think, for the big floods, maybe they might lose a little bit of the sand, but for the most part, it's going to be fine.
Okay. All right. This is exciting. So Casey Nakama, he has the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center, and it's open. So you can get the kids out, and it's all done in exactly social distancing. Is everybody wearing masks while they're playing?
Everybody's masked up. That is just mandatory for the classes. And then in between, on the side, if the kids need to take the mask off, they got to go off to the side on their own. But the masks are all mandatory in the class. And then we have all our hand sanitizers, and none of the kids can borrow each other's equipment. We space them out on the driving range. We are outdoors. So, you know, most of the sports, there's no contact, obviously, with, you know, other players and, you know, physical contact, I'm saying, like, compared to, like, soccer or something like that. But, I think of most of all the sports, we're probably the safest at this time. So hopefully, you know, things go okay, and then we can just keep these kids playing and practicing.
Yeah, and it's interesting the friendships that develop when kids are working on their game, and it teaches a little, you know, social distancing, how to give everybody space to be respectful when the person is hitting, not to talk in the backswing, all of those things. And being outside, it's perfect. So if I'm not mistaken, it's CaseyNakamaGolf.com?
Yeah, CN. It is instruction at Casey Nakama Golf Development Center.
Okay. All right. So you guys, if you didn't catch that, Casey Nakama Golf Development Center, and just Google it, and you'll get it,
yeah,
okay?
That'll be fine, yeah.
it's easy to find Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer and Director of Golf and founder and owner of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. Thank you about telling us that for all the people who get frustrated thinking, you know, why can't I get this? It's all about time. You got to put the time in to become, quote unquote, a natural golfer. Thank you very much, Casey.
All right, Danielle. I'll talk to you again.
Yeah. Aloha. We're going to come back. We have Terry Kohler, Chairman and Director of Innovation Edison Golf. A friend of mine, a very good golf writer and good golfer, too, he said of the Edison Golf Wedges, the best new wedges for the recreational player. That's quite the endorsement. We'll be talking with Terry Kohler right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Rainer Doors, most beautiful crafted garage doors that open with a push of the button. Entry to safety with the push of a button. That's a Rainer garage door. Know your loved ones are safe with Rainer Doors, and they have more than 50 different styles for your taste. The Rainer garage door, a gorgeous addition that adds security for the family. It's 676-3667.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Terry Kohler, Chairman and Director of Innovation, Edison Golf. I don't know if you heard this, Terry, but a friend of mine, a very good golfer and golf writer, he called Edison Golf wedges the best new wedges for the recreational player. Welcome into the clubhouse.
No, well, thank you for having me, Danielle.
Are you on speaker?
No, I'm not.
Okay, no problem. But as long as you're not on speaker. Now, what I think is fascinating about, not only I'm telling everybody that you have a, you know, a proposal that can't be declined, but what have you done? You have been making wedges for 30 years. So what is it about these new wedges that are so good for the recreational player?
Well, Danielle, in my study of wedges over the past 30 years, and I have a wedge collection dating back to the 50s, as you might imagine, and the reality of wedges is that they just haven't changed in 40 or 50 years of any significance. I mean, nothing like our drivers and our putters and our irons. And wedges are a single piece of molded metal. And what you see is what you get in performance. And if you walk down the rack of wedges in any retail store, you know, brand A, brand B, brand C, they all are shaped the same. All the weight is on the bottom. The top two-thirds of the club is very thin. And that's what causes us to have poor distance control. And I've been creeping up on adding a little weight higher in the club for 30 years. And I tried retirement a few years ago, and I had people saying, why don't you do wedges again? You always made the best wedges. And I said, if I'm going to do it this time, I'm just going to strip it down to the face of the golf club, and I'm going to rebuild the entire back of the club to equalize performance as much as it possibly can be. And we just stripped down the back of the golf club and redesigned the entire back of the wedge to move weight much higher in the club, make it more even across the club. And what that does is it makes the shot that's a little low on the face, the shot that's a little high on the face, the shot on the toe to the heel, they all fly about the same now. They fly the same trajectory, they take the same spin, they go the same distance, better than any wedge ever made. We've proven this on robots. We've proven this with live golfer testing. It was time to totally remake the wedge. And if your older listeners would remember what Big Bertha did to drivers, and we had these little metal woods, which was a revelation of its own. And here comes Big Bertha. People laughed at that golf club until they hit it. And then they went, holy cow, this is a better way to make a driver. And within 1 year, every manufacturer in golf had an oversized metal driver. And I just wondered why wedges have never experienced this kind of disruption, this upheaval. And it's time. I mean, golfers tell me over and over their wedge play, their distance consistency, their spin consistency is the worst part of their golf game. And, I mean, I'm just going to pick on the industry. It's because the wedges. The wedges are finicky about where you hit it. And I said, why can't we change that? We don't accept that in our driver. So, sorry, I kind of got off on my soapbox there. But wedges haven't changed, and it's time they did.
So more mass high in the club?
Yes, exactly. And so what happens, you know, every listener out there knows that shot. It's perched up a little in the rough, and you hit it high in the face. And as soon as you feel that, you know, front bunker, you know, water hazard, short of the green. And that's because the smash factor up in the top half of that golf club is 20 or 25% less efficient because there's no mass up there on any given wedge. Just take a look at all of them. They're all very thin in the top half of the blade compared to the bottom half. So we thickened the golf club up into the very top of the golf club so that when you catch it high in the face, you've got almost three times the mass there of any other wedge on the market. So instead of a 20 or 25% energy loss, we've mitigated that down to a 6 or 7% energy loss. So you're 20 feet short of the hole instead of 20 yards short of the hole.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody tells me, Daniel, I've analyzed 50,000 wedge fitting profiles online through my prior companies, and 80% of golfers, regardless of handicap, say they hit their wedges too high. 80% say they don't get enough spin. 80% say distance control is their number one wedge problem. Well, the fact is, all of those things are built into what I call tour design wedges. I mean, and that's kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. Less than 2% of golfers will play a pure forged blade iron because they say they're not good enough. And yet 98% of golfers are playing a tour design wedge. And robotic testing I've done for 20 years proves to me a tour blade pitching wedge is more forgiving than any of the tour design gap wedges out there. So you're playing a hard to hit golf club because it's a tour type wedge. It's just not right for recreational golfers.
Why is this? Tell us more about the smash factor. I always think about smash factor being something that I want to use in my driver, you know, get it smashed and go far.
Nobody in the wedge business talks about smash factor, but every golf club from your driver to your putter has a smash factor. And there is one place on that golf club, one pinpoint, that's the highest smash factor on the golf club. And in drivers, that's a high number because of the springy face and this kind of thing. But in a wedge and a putter, that smash factor is much lower. But there's still one place that optimizes impact. And what we've been chasing with cavity back irons and big drivers is to give you a bigger and bigger margin of error. If you were, and you're not old enough to remember playing persimmon drivers, but you had to hit it dead perfect, the old term in the screws, you had to hit it dead perfect to get the optimum out of that golf club because a quarter-inch miss was severely punishing. A half-inch miss was really, really punishing. So metal woods and the proliferation and increasing in size has made the fall-off of that efficiency less dramatic. So a half-inch miss on a driver, you might only lose 8 or 10% efficiency mm-hmm. versus a persimmon wood, you might lose 40% efficiency. Well, in wedges, every club has a smash factor. In wedges, right down on the bottom of the club, the lower two or three or four grooves where all the mass is, the smash factor is about 1.16 to 1.8, which means the ball leaves the club 16 to 18% faster than the club speed. But when you go a half an inch high into the face, that smash factor can drop down to as low as 0.92 to 9.5. So you have a 20%, 24% reduction in impact efficiency. So that high face shot on your wedge, it can't go as far because there's no impact efficiency. So by moving the weight around, what we did is mitigated that range of smash factor from 20 or 25% down to about 7 or 8%. So that high face hit will go more like a good hit.
Right.
And, I mean, it's really simple physics, but it's about building wedges for recreational players who are not spending thousands of hours a year working on their short game. I mean, we just don't have the time to do that, and tour players have. And they'll actually use that smash factor volatility to hit the hundreds of different kinds of shots they know. But the rest of us, we just want to hit it somewhere on the face, whether it's a driver, a 5-iron, a 9-iron, a wedge. We just want to hit it somewhere on the face and get pretty good results. Because your best shots are always going to be fabulous, regardless of what you play. It's your worst shots that causes you aggravation and runs up your scores, and that's what we're trying to mitigate. The good shots are always going to be good, but it's those not-so-good ones that are not quite perfect, or even the shot that's, like, really lousy. We want to make those better, and that's what we've done.
So, you know, why is the robot testing? To me, the robot's set up perfectly to hit the ball. So how does the robot testing help?
Well, what robotic testing does is it removes the golfer influence, because particularly when you're hitting wedges, you have the golfer club head speed, the way that golfer traps the ball into the turf. You know, you've played with a lot of different people. They spin the ball differently. They hit it differently. What the robot allows us to do is to make sure we're hitting it right on that third groove, 10 shots in a row. Then we move it a half an inch over and hit it 10 shots in a row. We move it a half an inch up. And we can be very precise of measuring where impact was on the golf club so that we can quantify with data, what is the club head doing? We've equalized the shaft. We've taken golfer influence out of it. Every company tests golf clubs on a robot because that's how you isolate the club head. Then you begin to put it in golfers' hands, and once you think you have it where you want it, see how golfers react to it. So, for example, we found on the robot that our club would spin the ball 50 to 60% more than every other wedge on the market. But in real golfers' hands, when you add club head speed and golfer technique, you know, that spin difference is more like 15 or 20%. But the club head itself is designed to spin the ball dramatically more, particularly on miss hits. So that's what robotic testing is, part of the developmental process for everybody in the industry.
Got it.
Regardless
makes sense.
Of the club. Even with putters, we robot test them to see what really happened when I precisely hit the ball a quarter inch off the sweet spot.
Okay.
Because you can't do that with a live golfer because they can't repeat that every time. A robot does.
No. So you've chosen 51, 55, and 59, the set of Edison golf wedges, and we're talking with the chairman and director of innovation, Terry Kohler, Edison Golf. This set of three, this is where, you know, this is an offer you cannot refuse, okay? This is amazing that you can do this. You have three wedges that will be then custom crafted for each golfer and available with a wide range of shafts and grip options through the company's website, edisonwedges.com, online fitting analysis, of course, and then you'll send them to the person who's ordered them. And then if they don't like them, they can send them back.
You know, Daniel, the only way, I mean, I think you can test drivers in a hitting bay with the launch monitor, the ball's off the tee, you know, it's just like it's going to be on the golf course. But to me, the only way to evaluate whether wedges are going to be any good for you is you've got to take the wedges you're going to play to the course you play and hit the shots that you hit. And watch the results, because it's not about launch monitor. It's about, did you like the way that ball flew? Did you like the way it handled that bunker shot? Did you like the way it handled that little chip shot? Did you like the way the ball reacted on the green? So we make wedges in every loft right now from 49 to 59. We're expanding that down to 45 degrees to replace pitching wedges, up to 63 degrees to get into the high lobs. But we're so confident what we've got. We'll build you a set of wedges to your specs, because trying a wedge with a shaft that's not right for you or a length and lie that's not right for you is not really trying out a wedge. So we said, you know what, let's custom build wedges for people to their specs and let them play 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 5 rounds, 6 rounds, whatever it takes for you to decide, hey, I'm seeing a difference or no, I'm not. We know you're going to see a difference. I mean, that's going to happen 99% of the time. So we'll build a set, and if they're not what you want, if they don't do what we say, send them back. We'll either try different shafts in them if you want to do that, or we'll just take them back and send you your money back. But we call it a demo because we're willing to give you your money back, but we're not going to send you some generic demo club. and we're not going to limit you to 30 days because that may not be long enough. You may have some bad weather and you didn't, or something came up and you didn't get enough rounds in. So it may take you 40 or 50 days to really give these things a fair trial. But we know if you do, we know what we've built here, and we've had people over and over and over again, you know, tell us that this has just changed their wedge game forever. And it really does. I mean, are we a miracle worker? No, Danielle. We can't fix the shot that you hit right in the eyebrows, as I call it. We can't fix the shot that you lay the sod over on. We're in the club business, not the swing business. But as you make impact and you hit those variety of shots in the course of two or three or four rounds, you're going to see some shots you're going, wow, I really got away with that one.
This is great.
And your best shots are going to still be great. Everybody's golf club.
The Edison Forged Wedges retail for $179 with the KBS Tour steel shafts, $194 with the KBS Tour graphite shafts. Premium Golf Pride MCC Plus 4 grips are standard. You need to go and check this out because you need to try them. And if you really don't like them, you can send them back. But I've got a feeling after all the years that Terry Kohler's been working, Chairman and Director of Innovation at Edison Wedges, go to edisonwedges.com and check them out. Thanks so much for being with us, Terry. This is wonderful.
Well, it's always fun, Danielle. We have so much data we'd love to share. Anytime you want a little deep dive into wedge performance, you know where to come. I'm always happy to do your show. It's always fun.
Excellent. Well, you'll be back. Aloha. Thanks for being on.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
We're going to come back. We've got somebody over at PGA Tour Champions, the Ally Challenge. Everybody's back playing. I mean, it's like all the tours. It's wonderful. After this, Michael Patrick Shields. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo.
You remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. He just got gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors. 676-3667.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home.
Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Last week, we were in Michigan for the Symetra Tour, Firekeepers Hotel Casino Tournament, Battle Creek Country Club. Was it last week or the week before? But we're still in Michigan. This week, we're in Michigan for the PGA Tour Champions Tournament. Since everybody shut down in March, this is the first one out for the champions. It's the Allied Challenge at Warwick Hills Golf and Country Club, where Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer, and of course, host of Michigan's Big Show, is. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Great to hear from you. And this is the venue that was known for many, many years as the Buick Open on the PGA Tour. And the players who are now 50 and older remember playing here. They remember shooting lights out here in Grand Blanc, Michigan. 1958, Billy Casper won the first event here, and the guy who won it last time when it was on the regular tour was somebody called Tiger Woods, who in 2009 capped off a series of wins here. And, you know, this would be a smaller market and a quaint tournament, and you might have said, well, why would Tiger have played in that? Well, he worked for Buick, if you remember, and he had that Buick logo on his bag. And so there was always a lot of excitement in Grand Blanc, Michigan, which is next to Flint, and it wouldn't be considered one of your glamour cities to visit for sure. But on the tour, you talked about the smash factor a little bit earlier. Warwick Hills was the smashed factor because fans turned out here on the 17th hole and did the wave. And when the tournament was over, they would find a mountain of liquor bottles below the stands there. And it was before Phoenix got that reputation. It was Grand Blanc. And Ben Wright from CBS can attest to the fact that when he would be calling the game in the seventh tower, that he had to watch because the fans would throw cans of Budweiser right up over the booth and into the booth. And so we had a lot of fun, and it's really nice to have this event back in Michigan after having it be away for a while.
That's so funny. Fun in Michigan is throwing cans of beer at the TV booth.
Cool. Yeah. They loved him, and they wanted him to have a beer, and he wanted to have one. And that's how it went.
And that is so fun. That is, I mean, it's wonderful, and it's great. It's the Allied Challenge, and I was looking, Michael Patrick, at the leaderboard. Brett Quigley is 7 under on this second round. I said 7 under? Yeah. We've got Carlos Franco, Tommy Armour III, Fred Funk, Glenn Day, Rod Pampling, Bernard Langer. Of course, he's not playing quite as well as yesterday. Kirk Triplett. I'm looking for the rookies. Where are the rookies?
Well, Jim Furyk, if you want to call him a rookie, 50-year-old rookie, he won here in 2003. He opened up with a 68. Mike Weir from Canada, right across the border here with a 70, and KJ Choi, 72 yesterday. And Ernie Els, who won the last Champions Tour event before the whole thing was shut down, shot 69 and had a hole-in-one on the eighth hole. And it's eerily quiet because there are no fans, and this is a place that was loud and not this time. And but Jack Nicklaus was here riding around on a cart the other day watching his son play. And Tommy Armour III, you mentioned, got in as an alternate. He came to Grand Blanc not even knowing if he was going to be able to get into the event. He did. He seems to be making the most of it. And the other one I would have you watch, if you feel like it, is a fella called Tom Gillis.
Tom Gillis.
You heard his name. Yeah, he was 5 under yesterday, and he's from Lake Orion, which is about 20 miles away or so, and he's a journeyman who's always been trying to make it out here, and he's got himself in the thick of things.
You know, you keep saying these lakes. You know, I...
Separate little island in Maisie Day Lake, and I've seen pictures of Maisie Day Lake. It is completely built up. It's surrounded by... And I remember... You know, when the ice would take over the lake and we'd be in our ice skates and pictures of my mom and dad on the ice with the kids and nothing was around. there was nothing.
That's right there in Clarkston. That's not too far from Lake Orion and not too far from Grand Blanc. And in fact, one of the last Buick Opens, Jean Vandeveld was here. And I asked him, you know, about ground blank. I mean, what do you think that means? And he said, because most of the time it's white and it snows here in Michigan. And you know that, too, when you were here on Mesa Day Lake, it was boating. It was the winter wonderland in the winter and the water wonderland in the summer.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Colin Montgomery looks like a shadow of it. Have you seen him? He's like 40 pounds lighter.
Yeah, isn't that something? COVID was good for him, too, I guess. I mean, really, I mean, you know, I don't know how you could, how he got himself to be such a pasty Brit. I guess he probably moved to the States. Stop eating all that haggis and meat pies and all the rest of it.
Well, he looks a lot younger. And by the way, I've seen some new shots of you. You know, you're looking trim.
I lost 109 pounds since September. And so I'm right there with Colin Montgomery. And I'm sure he's swinging better, and so am I.
Oh, that's fantastic. Michael Patrick, we'll have to talk about the why of all of that at some point.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask in life, isn't it?
Yes.
Start with the why.
Michael.
Isn't that guy, there's a guy, Simon Sinek, who wrote a book, I think it's called Start with the Why, and it's one of a very successful business book, and it's funny that you mention it.
Well, do you want to mention why?
Well, I don't know. I'm glad I did it, though, that's for sure. And I wanted to get a beach body so I can get back to Hawaii one of these days, maybe look good in a Hawaiian shirt and you know, have a nice lay, maybe.
Well, when we reopen, I think the best thing that we could do is have Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer for TravelTattler.com, come over and spend a week at each island and just take in the island and write and then move from island to island and spend a month promoting all the wonderful things that you can do when you're in the Hawaiian Islands and how safe and how serious we take it all, keeping everybody else around us safe. That would be fabulous, Michael Patrick.
Well, the only problem with doing that is then I would have nothing to look forward to when I die, because that would be heaven.
Okay. Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer for TravelTattler.com, and host of Michigan's Big Show, syndicated, of course. Also the author of I Call Him Mr. President, Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life with my friend, George H.W. Bush. Thanks for coming in at last notice and taking us to the PGA Tour Champions. Appreciate it very, very much.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. Coming in next, we've got Steve DiMeglio, senior writer, Golf Week and USA Today.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Do you remember the story of Hezekiah, Mike? Wasn't he a good king that served the Lord?
Yes, he was, but he also did something foolish. He let some strangers see all his stuff, and they came back later and stole it all.
Wow, bummer.
Some people today do that too. They have an open carport so strangers can tell if they're home or not.
Can we help people like that, Dad?
We can enclose almost anyone's carport and give them the security of an automatic garage door.
It'll make the home look nicer too.
Maybe if Hezekiah had rang your garage door, he could have kept his stuff. You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
Going to Bayview Golf Course, reserve your tee time. It's the best value in golf on Oahu. All of the COVID-19 precautions in place, social distancing, disinfecting, and on the driving range, there's the Top Tracer Golf.
We put power at
at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
And Steve DiMeglio, senior writer, Golf Week and USA Today. He's in with us. We've got, of course, the WGC. And next weekend, we have the PGA Championship. What's up with that? Finally, a major. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hello, Danielle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we were talking the last time we were together about the testing numbers and all this. It's been really good the past couple of weeks. No positives.
Absolutely zero for on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour this week. Hopefully we can keep going. I know the players are taking it a lot more seriously than they did earlier, and there was just a few players that weren't taking it more seriously. A lot more caddies are taking it much more seriously. And so, you know, so far, so good, and let's just keep it rolling.
Right on. Speaking of keeping it rolling, Brendan Todd, didn't he just win last weekend?
No. He's in contention right now, and he was in he's played well. He's played very well. He could become the first three-time winner this season if he holds on to this lead that he's got right now at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. The guy was on fire. He almost won three tournaments in a row this fall. And, you know, this is a guy that he got the driver yips. This is the guy that got the putting yips. This is the guy that missed 37 of 41 cuts. He contemplated on, you know, hanging up the golf shoes and bringing out the pizza pans and opening up a pizza chain and doing that for a living. And, he's resurrected his game, his life, his confidence, and right now he's got a strong lead in one of the toughest fields of the year.
Yes, exactly. Last week he won, and I was like, okay, wait a minute, Brendan Todd, am I looking at the wrong leaderboard? He's back at the top, and he's, you know, 12 under. He's putting is beautifully. It's incredible to watch, but it's also great to see Ricky Fowler. He's 10 under, just two shots back. They're, you know, pretty much together, like with Young Hun on. This is a really terrific field to watch.
Oh, so far, absolutely. And it's amazing that some of the commentators this morning for PGA Tour Live said that they had to seriously contemplate on putting on a jacket in Memphis.
What?
On August 1st, that the temperature had dropped 15 to 20 degrees. And right now they have cool temps, overcast skies. It looks right now, what you're seeing on your TV is what next week could look like. Overcast skies, cool temperatures, though they'll be even colder. We'll be down in the 60s next week at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. But, Ricky is, he's holed out from off the green three times this week, but he's playing much better. He's still, you know, working on those swing changes that he started in the fall, and this week so far, it's working for him.
Yeah, another one I'm surprised to see moving up the leaderboard so well is Shane Lowry. The U.S., the champion golfer of the year, who gets to hold on to that title until next year. So how often do you have the claret jug in your hands for 2 years? That's pretty incredible. But let's go over to TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, the first major. It's also, isn't it the first major out of TPC?
That I don't know. And, you know, it's, you know, the PGA Tour bought it, and they made some changes, and they added the TPC moniker.
Ah.
It's a very good golf course.
Tell us about it.
It's long, and it's going to play long because of where it is. It's near the ocean, and it's going to be in cool temperatures. You know, I think we're going to be in the mid-60s for the highs next week and the mid-50s for the lows. You have that mist that usually comes floating in off the ocean, so the air is heavy. We've been told over and over again that the rough is very high and thick, and the fairways are thin, and the course is going to play long, but the greens are going to play soft. So, you know, these players are still going to have the advantage. Anytime a golf course is soft, players will have an advantage. But, I mean, you're going to have to keep the ball in play, or else, you know, it's 50-50 whether or not, when you get into that rough, if you're going to be able to advance it far enough for to take advantage of your distance. So we're going to go from the heat that we've had this summer, basically from the get-go, from COVID-19 restarting, it's been nothing but hot everywhere they've gone. And next week at TPC Harding Park for the PGA Championship, it's not going to crack 70. So the ball is going to be heavier in the air. It's going to be, it'll be an acclimation. It'll take some time to get used to.
So let's look at some of the players. Brooks Koepka, he's going to go for his third PGA championship as defending champion, although, of course, it's always on a different course. He won 2018, 2019, Bethpage Back, Bellerive. What do you think? What are his chances?
Well, it's basically he's starting to get in that Tiger Woods mode where it depends on how he wakes up. He woke up this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, saying that his left knee, which he's had stem cell procedure on, and he's had some other minor work done, and there's a partial tear and a tendon in there. And he said it felt great, and he shot 62 in the opening round. And since then, he's fallen back. If he's 90%, even close to 90%, he's definitely a threat because the man plays majors as well as anybody alive right now. You know, he finished in the last four majors. He finished second at Augusta. He won the PGA Championship, finished second at the U.S. Open, and finished fourth at the Open Championship, the last major that was played that Shane Lowry won. He's trying to become the first player to win three consecutive PGA championships since they went to stroke play in 1956. So he's chasing history, just as he chased history at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach when he was trying to join Willie Alexander as the only three consecutive winners of three consecutive U.S. Opens in history, and he finished second. Again, if his knee's fine, he's going to raise his level. For some reason, every time he steps on a major championship venue, his confidence even goes higher than it is now. So I expect him to be a threat next week.
Yeah. The odds are better, though, on Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson. Rory's 8-1. Bryson is 10-1. John Rahm, 11-1. Justin and Dustin, 12-1. I just don't see Rory having such high odds. Do you?
Well, it's interesting that the people that you just mentioned, and also add Brooks in there, they all have one thing in common. They all hit the ball very long. You've got to be long at TPC Harding.
Okay.
Sure, there have been cases made throughout golf's history where a short hitter has outshone the longest hitters. But power is always an advantage no matter how high the rough is. Power is always an advantage no matter how hard the greens are, and they're not going to be hard next week. The fairways are going to be soft, so there's going to be very little roll. So that's advantage for all the big hitters. And every one of those guys can take out their three wood and be as accurate as, you know, lesser hitting, you know, smaller hitting guys with their drivers. Rory's best driver of the golf ball. And Rory won the match play there in 2015. He won the WGC match play there in 2015, so he's won on the golf course. but he's the best driver of the golf ball. And he's sort of a mutter. His four major championships have all come on pretty damp, soaking golf courses. And I can't see how TPC Harding Park can be anything but soft next week.
Tiger Woods. Weather. Going from the heat to the cold. Is it too cold for him?
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about the fact he's played once in 5 months.
Yes.
And again, every time you write him off, he surprises you. But, you know, at age 44, he's got four rounds under his belt since February. Two of those rounds are 76. I just, I don't know. I just, of all the things he's done, if he could somehow, some way contend, and if he could somehow, some way win, it might be his greatest feat. I just, one time in 5 months, it's amazing. So, yeah. But again, he's Tiger Woods, and we'll have to see.
Tiger is 18-1, but one, I was just reading about the computer models. One has Tiger Woods not even making the top 10, which you're kind of leaning toward based on, you know, what we're talking about here. While Colin Morikawa, 22-1, is, you know, doing good. What do you think about Colin Morikawa?
Well, he's played the golf course a lot, and he's right now. You'd be hard if he'd be up there in the conversation along with Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods as the best iron players alive. Colin Morikawa is just an outstanding iron player. he can get a little erratic with the driver. But the man's won twice in 20, you know, he's 22 years old. The man's, he's missed one cut in his career, mm-hmm. So he's got more wins than missed cuts. He keeps the ball in play. So, yeah, I mean, you can make a case for a lot of guys. I mean, I could make a case for the top six favorites. I could make a case for basically most anybody you throw out there. It's going to be, the field is going to be loaded. But again, there is no rain in the forecast as of right now, and it's going to be basically partly cloudy every day, and the temps are going to be in the mid-60s into the low 50s. So it's going to be a soft course, and I just, until I see how high the rough is, until I see how thin the fairways are, you know, the Bombers could have a huge advantage, and I'm going to stick with the Bombers having a huge advantage until I see what's going on when we get there.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Now, can I talk a little bit about Bryson here? The ant ruling, I think it's fascinating. It just shows you that if you have a question in this game and you call over a rules official, why not, right? So you caught this one where Bryson decided that he could be in a fire ant area. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, he's had his moments with tour officials at the memorial just 2-3 weeks ago. You know, he asked for a second ruling. They had to bring in a second official concerning his ball being underneath a out-of-bounds fence. I think, you know, he got taken to task by some people there. I thought he did everything to that he was allowed to do, and I didn't see him getting angry. The ant one, I could see where it was going from, and that was fine. You know, players always talk to you about you try to gain the advantage as much as possible, but then when he dragged it on, and then dragged it on, and then dragged it on, and then he said, "Look, there's an ant right there," that sort of weakens your argument, because if you feel endangered by one ant, I mean, especially after the officials determined that there are no fire ant mounds anywhere, that there were no burrowing holes anywhere. You know, that's when I thought he should have moved on a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But he got barbecued again. and, you know, he's going to have his moments, and he's going to keep having his moments. But a man who's as intelligent as he is, I think he might want to take a look at some of these film clips of him having confrontations with a rules official, with a photographer, and question whether or not did he take it too far or not. but he certainly isn't the first one that tried to do everything in his power to get an advantageous ruling.
Absolutely.
Believe me. When you're going to barbecue him, when you're going to criticize him, point that out. You know, you should point that out over and over again.
That everybody tries it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they certainly do.
Brooks was funny. Koepka was in the pretty much the same spot. And he says to his caddy, there's an ant.
Yeah. Hey, he gets a lot of ribbing from his fellow pros. I mean, Tiger is giving it to him more than anybody. And he takes it well. So, I mean, and I think that's why he gets so much ribbing, is the guys know he can take it. And then there are moments where it's so ridiculous what he's done that he deserves it. So we'll see. But again, there's another guy. He's as long as anybody. And, you know, there might be guys that are driving the ball a little farther than he is, than Bryson is. But nobody's hitting the 8-iron longer, the 5-iron longer, the wedge longer, the 9-iron longer. I mean, he is longer, so much longer, and outrageously longer with every club in his bag. And I just don't know. You know, there's been a couple of things. He's just unleashing and unleashing. Now, maybe when he gets there, sees the length of the rough, he'll say, okay, we're going to dial it back. I'm still going to use my power game because I can still hit my driving iron 280. I can still hit my 3-wood 320. So maybe we'll dial it back a bit. But, again, he'll make that determination in the 3 days that he's there before Thursday starts.
It's amazing when you rattle off those numbers, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's a whole different world. It's Bryson's world. It's great talking with you, Steve DiMeglio. When do you travel?
Monday.
Monday.
Monday. I should be hopefully landing in San Francisco as scheduled at around 1 p.m. and might go to the golf course depending on how soon I get the rental car, or else I'll be bright and early on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. Steve DiMeglio is senior writer for Golf Weekend USA Today, headed to the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park. Thanks for being on the show with us this morning, this afternoon.
As always, thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Oahu Extraction, the flood mitigation company across the state of Hawaii. Call Oahu Extraction. Whether the water in your home is from a storm, a broken water main, or a broken pipe in the house, or maybe it's upstairs, you need Oahu Extraction immediately. The number to put on your refrigerator is 330-6212. 330-6212. And remember, sometimes the water doesn't flood in. It trickles in and it stays. It causes mold. If you've got kind of a funky smell around, you can't figure it out, they've got the hydrometer. That is a way for them to look in and see what's happening in the walls without having to cut into the walls. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Get the Honda EU 2200 generator for $999. Get an extended warranty for $99. That's the best deal on the Honda EU 2200, plus everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it. Rainer Doors, most beautiful crafted garage doors that open with a push of the button. Entry to safety with a push of that button. It's a Rainer garage door. Know your loved ones are safe with a Rainer door. They have more than 50 different styles for your taste. Rainer garage door, a gorgeous addition, and their number is 676-3667. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, and a double-deck driving range with top tracer at each station at no extra cost, wiped every few hours. All of the COVID-19 precautions in place, including fewer tee times for social distancing. With all of these precautions in place, as directed by the PGA of America and the state of Hawaii, you can feel safe, or you can stay in the shade and challenge your friends in the virtual mode on the driving range. You can always find us at radiogolfclub.com. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.